Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:56 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is February 13th, and of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. Well, let's first have a review of what's been happening this week. And US Treasuries have rallied in the beginning of the week and given a lot of it up in here today. They're down 3 full points as of the close on the 30-year, and treasuries have been leading on the downside over the last 6 weeks. They were laterally followed by bunds, gilts, JGBs, and all of those other bond markets rallied significantly this week. They were a little bit weaker today, but not significantly. Treasuries have led the entire move on the upside from the lows that we saw more than a year ago, and they now appear to be leading on the downside. But it is taking time for the other markets to fall into place, and it does remain a high probability that we are going to see other bond markets following on the downside with this rather consistent move in treasuries. Those other markets would need to sustain moves above their recent highs to offset scope for or to question the hypothesis that they are about to follow on the downside with that Treasury's lead. This has also been a week in which we saw a lot of attention being garnered by the precious metals. Gold broke out of its short-term range and is currently close to $940, down marginally in here today from a high up near 850, sorry, 950. This is important because the consistency of gold over the last 2 or 3 months has been that it has had a progression of higher lows and has been reasonably unable to sustain upward breaks. But this is the first time that it is consolidated and then broken up out of a consolidation rather than downwards. So what we are seeing is that gold is garnering more attention, and as a result, the pattern is becoming more consistent because of the increased bullish activity that is going on in there. It makes the pattern easier to work with because the consistency characteristics are now more easily identifiable, and it would really need to break back down into this most recent trading range and probably really below it to question short-term potential for upside. And then there is still the progression of higher lows to be questioned beyond that. So everything is looking quite good for gold and indeed the other precious metals. This has been a remarkably consistent move by silver, for example, currently consolidating below the $14 level. It's another one of the small step sequence consolidations within this very consistent month-long uptrend, and it would need to take out this short-term progression of higher lows to question scope for this to move further on the upside. This is also a week in which we saw platinum breaking above $1,000. It's at 1,069 now, down marginally on the day, and holding this gain above the psychological $1,000 level really very well. So this is increasingly an area which is attracting attention. This has also been a week in which we've seen quite a lot of bearish sentiment being expressed in the equity markets. The USA remains the epicenter of global risk, and the Dow and the S&P are currently testing the lower side of their ranges or their October lows. They still have those November lows below current levels, but people are becoming increasingly nervous as they test the lower side of these ranges. There are a large number of other stock markets that are performing better than the US. For example, you have the FTSE, which continues to have a progression of higher lows from the October lows and remains relatively consistent within that range. You also have other markets such as the DAX. The OMX in Sweden has also performed very well and is actually testing the upper side of its range. And in Asia, you have markets such as China, which has broken out of a small base and performed remarkably well this week, and completing another little consolidation in here today. China is our candidate to lead in any type of recovery situation. But it's not going to be able to do it on its own. And if we do see Wall Street breaking to the downside, then there is going to be a strong likelihood that other markets are going to follow suit, depending on just how serious a downward break on Wall Street would be, I think, highly would have I think a high degree of impact on what other markets are going to do. If, for example, we see Wall Street breaking down, but only for a couple of days and popping back up into the range, then the chances are that that will become a buying opportunity for a vast majority of other stock markets, Wall Street included. On the other hand, if we see Wall Street moving into another down leg, then it is most likely to drag just about everything else with it. So there remains a high degree of uncertainty in stock markets, and people are looking at other asset classes. This is one of the main reasons why people are looking at gold. Of course, the other main reason is that gold is appreciating in lots and lots of other currencies. Because the dollar has been so strong of late and commodity currencies have been so weak, that has flattered the performance of gold in those other currencies, particularly the commodity currencies. Or, for example, you have the weakness of the British pound flattering enormously the performance of gold in that particular currency. So we see that the precious metal sector is gaining lots of new adherents, and that has some of the people who have been bullish of gold over a long period of time becoming nervous, because when an asset class or an instrument becomes mainstream, then there is a strong likelihood that we are in the latter half at least of the bull run. And probably the best way to gauge just where we are with the performance of the precious metals, particularly gold, is to look at gold relative to the Dow. We have lots and lots of back history, and gold has been outperforming the Dow for, I think, about 8 years, and has offset about two-thirds of the enormous outperformance of the Dow against gold all the way through the 80s and 90s. So we have had a good part of gold's bull market relative to another asset class occurring already. That does not mean that gold can't go higher, and it certainly looks like it's going to go higher. We don't have any evidence that gold is accelerating in here, and the market has only just turned more consistent. So there is still potential for this market to continue to rally, and there is a strong possibility that we're going to see the yellow metal pushing on to new high ground at some point this year. But of course, it will also remain a volatile instrument to trade and will be best bought following the inevitable reactions. Looking though at the strength of gold relative to the Dow, it has already had by far the biggest part of its move. And there is certainly potential for gold's outperformance to last for another few years, but we shouldn't get into the mindset of expecting precious metals to outperform other asset classes over the extremely long term. They are certainly a good bet in the medium term and in over the next few years time horizon. If we're looking out over the 10 to 20 year time horizon, there is a strong likelihood that we're going to see another bull market developing in stock markets, which will outperform precious metals by a considerable margin in that very long term. But for the moment, the precious metals are garnering more attention. They are turning into consistent uptrends. In a world where we have very few consistent uptrends, then they are also going to be attracting momentum traders. And if there is a potential for a bubble to develop or for a mania to develop in the world today, the likelihood is, or the strongest contender is probably in the precious metals. And of course, That is also being backed up by the fact that people are losing faith in fiat currencies. You have governments printing money at a rate which is hard to believe. There is a lot of talk about quantitative easing. There is the continued deleveraging process, and we have people becoming increasingly leery of holding a depreciating asset. When we see that government bond yields are so low and that governments have a tidal wave of issuance on the way, do we really want to lend them their money, to lend them our money? And precious metals are certainly an appreciating asset in which to park reserves at the moment. Perhaps part of the reason that we've had government bonds being so strong recently, and that would be up until about 6 weeks ago in the case of treasuries, was that there is, of course, a large number of investors who wouldn't touch gold if it were the last asset class available to them. And then for those types of people, they are looking for a safe haven in the government bond markets, which had been appreciating very consistently until relatively recently. But with the incredible amount of supply that we have out there at yields that are remarkably low, then we are being paid to take risks in other asset classes. And certainly the corporate bond markets are benefiting from this for the very simple reason that people remain very concerned about the prospects for stock markets. And there will be a large number of people who will have been not only burnt by holding on to stale bull positions, but will also have nibbled on the way down and are now in a position where they may have some cash, but they are unwilling to risk it because if they lose that, they'll wipe themselves out, or they won't have any cash left to invest for when consistent uptrends do develop in stock markets. These people are nervous. So they could be looking at, and if I would stress the fact that due diligence in the corporate bond markets is likely to reap benefits. Because there is a certain, what I think I've been referring to since March, is a muddle myopia, that there has been an over-reliance on pricing credits based on models or based on the credit default swap market. And these can be manipulated. While we certainly have, there is no doubting that the credit default swap market adds value and gives an extra bit of color to the pricing mechanism for corporate bonds. But when the credit evaluation process breaks down entirely and we rely on the price of what are basically insurance contracts to price corporate bonds, then that is a recipe, in my opinion, for trouble. And it is certainly a trend that has gained credence over the last 3 and 4 years and broke down quite considerably in the last 6 months. But the problem is that credit default swaps are probably the only reliable pricing mechanism extant right now because liquidity has dried up so remarkably in the corporate bond market. That is not to say that just because a credit has a wide spread on the credit default swap, that doesn't mean that it's going to go and default. And we see that there are a large number of household name companies which are now at record spreads and are offering considerably higher yields than are available in the treasury markets. If people are willing to bet that the company may have trouble but will be in a position to pay back its debt, then they may be also looking at locking in a return by investing in the bonds of that company rather than the equity. And there is evidence to support that by the fact that we are seeing increasing amounts of debt being issued and finding ready buyers for it. That would have been unthinkable not 3 months ago. But we are starting to see that the credit markets are now starting to function once more. And while this is going to be a slow process, and the banking sector is going to remain under pressure, we are starting to see that credit markets are moving once more. And that should help to alleviate some of the risks for about funding in the short to medium term for large corporations. That in turn could help the wider economy in terms of getting cash moving once more and cutting back on the number of on unemployment rates as more companies are in a position to survive this recession. There, we can't say yet that we are out of this recession, and neither can we say that stock markets have bottomed conclusively. We're not going to be able to say that until we're significantly above the lows for stock markets. What we are looking at right now is that the lows are under pressure on Wall Street and that other markets are performing considerably better, particularly those in Asia and in Latin America. In Latin America, we have the big market there, Brazil, performing extremely well and pressuring the upper side of its range over the last 4 months, and it's up almost 3% today, so it could have broken to the upside. We also have other markets in the region, such as Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, all performing extremely well, and in terms of relative strength, in the top 10 markets in the world in terms of relative performance. In Asia, China, which is the heavyweight in the emerging region there outside of Japan, is leading the market on the upside. Related markets or neighboring markets like Korea also doing extremely well. Taiwan also appears to be in a basing formation, and it remains in a very tight range. So we're looking at some markets leading us on the upside at present. If we see that Wall Street can simply maintain its lows, that is leaving significant room for markets with a sound fundamental story to drive on the upside. Brazil has been running counter-cyclical monetary policy for a decade and appears to be in a relatively sound economic situation. And China has fixed its banking problem 3 or 4 years ago by recapitalizing the banks. It has massive reserves and has the cash without having to go to the markets to borrow to fund its own stimulus package. So it has enormous competitive advantages in weathering the storm that we are currently making our way through. There is every chance that it is these markets are going to lead us on the upside when this recession bottoms, and of course we would expect stock markets to bottom before the recession. So it really does re it remains all to play for. What we also have heard to a great extent over the last 6 months is that cash is king. But of course, cash is king for those who've got it, and those that have it are primarily emerging markets. Creditor nations are almost exclusively in the emerging world. They are in a position to make acquisitions today that would have been beyond comprehension less than a year ago, and they no longer face competition from the likes of the USA or Europe. That's why we now see that Chinalco has the ability to bid for a significant portion of Rio Tinto, and we see that China has continued its significant activity in terms of acquisitions and making ensuring that it has commodity supplies stretching out for decades rather than simply years in Africa. So this puts us in the position of where we think markets are going to move, or which markets are going to perform when the worst of this credit slash solvency or insolvency crisis is behind us. And the early signals are that it is going to be markets that are the centers of GDP growth or the countries that supply countries such as China are performing extremely well. But these countries are taking the long view. They have vast young populations, and just because we are going through a deep recession, certainly, but unlikely to be a depression, just because, I suppose, because most investors have a relatively short-term view of what is going to happen, and we are all our opinions are incredibly shaded by our most recent experience. We tend to take the short to medium term view. However, if you're planning to provide housing, sewage, electricity, water, not to mention schools, jobs, cities, for vast young populations, you have no choice but to take the long view. And in that scenario, you are currently being presented with a fantastic buying opportunity because you're being offered assets at knockdown prices because no one else has the cash to pay for them, and they will help to ensure that your country has ample supplies of the commodities and resources it needs to fuel its economic growth, not in the next few years, but over the next decades. And they are being presented with opportunities to improve their competitive position in terms of how they compete with the developed world in this scenario. So that is likely to feed through to the long-term performance of these markets because they are in a position to benefit for the long term, although they will share the pain in the short term with just about everyone else. Looking at the way currencies are moving, because you have the dollar and the yen being the strongest currencies in the world at the moment, even though they have probably the weakest economies out there. But in the case of the yen, there was a massive short position in the yen as leverage was built up through the carry trades, and that has been unwound. And with the dollar, with people repatriating cash back into dollar assets, that is helping to support the dollar index or the US dollar. The dollar index has, well, broke down in December and has spent the last 6 or 7 weeks rallying back up towards its highs. It's currently around 86 and the highs are near 88. It has been rolling over the last couple of weeks. And there still remains potential that it is encountering resistance up here and will weaken further. If we do see the dollar weakening, this will be broadly supportive of other commodities other than gold, which has been rallying. And counterintuitively, gold has been rallying along with the strength of the dollar. If the dollar gets weaker, which could be a support for other commodities, there is a potential that gold will also sell off because it is sharing with the dollar right now its safe haven status. If the dollar gets weaker, then the need for a safe haven is unlikely to be as strong, and that could pressure the precious metal markets. It would be good for other commodities, well, bullish for other commodities, and potentially also bullish for stock markets in the short to medium term. With the dollar, the very fact that we had this incredible bull run from the second half of last year, that broke the 3-year downtrend. It was enough to break that downtrend and probably tell us that the dollar is in a medium-term bottoming out process. It has certainly not countermanded the full extent of the uptrend that it had over the last couple of months. But the dollar is unlikely to have bottomed in such a rapid fashion. If we look back over history, the bottoming or topping out process of big currency markets such as the US dollar has taken a significant period of time and has been enormously volatile. So we could expect that the dollar could pull back, and it could now be in a multi-year range on the dollar index, where we could see it ranging from somewhere near 70 up towards 90 over the coming years. And I personally believe that is probably the most likely scenario. You look at the chart right now, and it could go either way. If we see the market breaking up to above the 88 level, then there is room for this market to push on further. I tend to think that if that occurs, we are probably also going to see other markets breaking to the downside, because the return to extreme caution by investors that would push the dollar index up to those kinds of highs would probably coincide with another crisis in other markets. So it is an important one to watch. And if it does actually break down from here and get weaker, then there is also the strong likelihood that we're going to get improvements in other markets. In some of the other commodity markets, we see that the industrial metals continue to range for the most part, and this looks like base formation development in its early stages. The soft commodities, on the other hand, have performed considerably better over the last few months, particularly markets such as the cocoa market. Coffee is also performing on a relative basis. The grains are lagging in here, probably because there is much more of an argument about where the demand for them is coming, and they have extremely large contangos, which would suggest that they are being supported by investment buying rather than strict supply and demand in terms of the fundamentals. So there remains, I think, in the soft commodities, an argument for assessing them on their individual merits rather than the entire sector moving as a whole. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a good weekend.